Man Fights Back, Episode 33. Take 1. These geeks know how to party.
Speak to me in a language I can hear. You will be before I have to go. Deep in thought, I forgive everyone. As the clouded streets greet me once again.
Pumpkins with 33.
Sweet. This is episode 33.
Yes.
Of Man Fights Back.
This is Eddie B.
This is Andrew E.
And we're in a nice blustery, snowy, cold.
Freezing our butts off. What happened to global warming?
Yeah. Elkhart, Indiana. We're in the Midwest, and yes, we're definitely dealing with some very chilly weather.
Arctic.
Chilly isn't even the term for it.
I'm so cold I had to put my hat on.
And if you're privileged enough to watch us live here on Stick Cam Video, Andrew E's over here looking like the Edge.
That's right. Got my skull cap on.
And the Edge from U2. And I'm just wearing my shades, so I just look like a douchebag in sunglasses in a dark room. So, I'm looking cool.
You're Stevie Wonder imitation.
The future's so bright, I got to wear shades.
Well, hey, I did a little bit. I just got in reading the Dan Brown book all about the Masons and the secret numbers and things like that. And number 33 came up a lot in the book. And
since
this is episode number 33, I thought I'd do a little bit of research online. And there's actually a lot of...
A lot of secrecy
and conspiracy about the number 33.
Does it mean I'm going to win the lottery this week?
If you play the right numbers.
Really?
Yeah.
33?
I bet that's one of them.
One of them.
So, a lot of this is coincidence, but it's kind of funny. What do Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Patrick Ewing, and Scottie Pippen have in common?
They have 33 wives.
They were all number 33.
Oh, really? Oh.
Let's see. 33 is the... Where's it at here? The human spine has 33 vertebrae.
And I think about 20 of those are messed up in my back right now.
I think I got the other ones. The number 33 is printed on all Rolling Rock beer labels.
Mm-hmm.
The Scottish Rite of Freemasonry has 33 degrees. Let me see. 33 is a Nigerian-produced brand of beer. Let me see here.
Now, hold on. Now, the whole Rolling Rock beer thing.
Yeah.
Does it say why?
I may have to expand that out and look and see.
See,
I can find
there is a reason behind that, and I know what it is. So I'm going to cheat and look it up on Google. But
Wow, here it is.
There was if I remember right, there was, I think it was 1933.
You got it.
That they were established.
It's actually when Prohibition.
Or Prohibition ended, right.
It ended.
Yes.
So we opened up we opened up the episode with 33 by the Smashing Pumpkins.
How fitting.
The title of the first episode of the new Battlestar Galactica television series was titled 33.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. What else? There's a lot of 33.
How many times I've watched that show?
33 times?
Zero. Minus 33.
United Nations symbol has 33 segments. In it.
Is there a meaning to that, or
a secret meeting? Probably 33 nations.
Oh, okay.
What was the other one that was kind of interesting? The NASA's Pathfinder landed on Mars, location 19.5 north by 33.3 west.
Oh, wow.
As
far as we know.
In 2008, the first time in 33 years that the United States has sent a satellite to explore and orbit Mercury.
Oh, wow.
And Roswell, New Mexico, and the Bermuda Triangle are both on the 33rd parallel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, there is some strange stuff for you there.
There you go. There's a lot more to it. I found most of this off of Wikipedia, but that was kind of interesting. There's a lot of 33s.
Never mind. The Wikipedia has entries for about everything.
That's true. The atomic number of arsenic is 33.
Ooh.
And... Here's the interesting thing. This was actually in the book that I read. 33 is, according to the Newton scale, Sir Isaac Newton, is the temperature when water boils. Well, guess what? Sir Isaac Newton was a Mason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So.
Lay that on you.
That's right.
Here to hear, only on Man Fights Back, episode number 33.
I think we said 33 times.
Yeah, probably. That'd be a good little thing there. Huh. Anyway, so it is less than 33 degrees outside.
Yeah, right now in Indianapolis, Indiana, it is 19 degrees Fahrenheit, light snow.
I'd say it's probably maybe 10 degrees here.
Where we're at, yeah, at least.
And the wind chill.
It's 26 mile an hour winds at home.
Wow.
So I'm going to have to check and see if I can switch my profile here and see. I have Hilton Head, South Carolina as one of my profiles. Let's see what it's like in Hilton Head right now.
Nice. Actually, I've got my iPod Touch over here.
And Hilton Head, it is a mostly cloudy 68 degrees.
Oh, wow. That's balmy.
Yes.
Jeez.
With a light 6 mile an hour southwest wind.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Well, we don't. We have a very heavy wind here, and it's very cold. So, we're freezing our butts off in the Midwest. They call it a winter storm, but there's really not much snow associated with it here.
Yes, it is actually 21 degrees in Elkhart, Indiana, and it feels like 7.
Oh God, there's no way. There. Somebody's smoking crack. All right. Well, what else has been going on? Anything for you?
Christmas is coming up.
Christmas is coming up. You buying all your gifts?
Bought a bunch of them off of Amazon on Sunday.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've been doing some Amazon shopping myself.
It's very convenient.
Had one disappointment. One item that I've been wanting or looking for someone decided that I don't know, what was it? The vendor, they sent me an email and they said, "We apologize, but this order has been canceled."
Nice.
"Because it is no longer available from the vendor." I'm like, well, then peachy, then take them off.
Yeah, take it off your site.
Yeah. So, anyway. Like, oh, well. So, I'll have to reorder that one. I may not even reorder that one. I don't know. We'll see. But, nice gift for my father. My father's so hard to buy for. So, if he wants it, he just buys it. So, I don't know what he already has, what he doesn't have. So,
yeah.
I got some ideas, though. He gave me some ideas.
I haven't got any ideas from anybody.
Just buy crap.
My wife or my dad.
Did you buy your wife some of those Elmo vibrating gloves?
Maybe.
Okay.
She's a fan of the show. I don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry. I already gave it away. Tickle me Elmo hands.
Man.
Oh, brother. Anyway. All right.
It is 10 o'clock already.
Is it 10 o'clock?
Wow.
We need to get this show on the road.
Let's get this.
It's late.
Snow truck on the plowing.
We got caught up in show prep and
dinner
with our 33 sauces.
Papa John's was in the house, and now it's in my belly.
He spent like $12 on sauces.
Yeah. Let's see. Our one large pizza with delivery, tip, and some extra sauces cost...
and bread, cheese sticks.
Cheese sticks.
Yeah.
$37.
$37. That's Papa John's for you.
Yeah.
Everything at Papa John's is expensive.
It is expensive. It adds up quick.
I mean, it's okay. It's good stuff. But
it's pretty good.
It's really expensive. So, I don't know. $5 large pizza.
It was cheaper than going out.
Oh, yeah. God, it's
and we
too
didn't
cold
have to mess with the weather.
Yeah, forget it. So, all right. Well, let's... speaking of cheese, there's our first artist... of the episode here is a band called Liquid Cheese with Salterra here on A Man Fights Back.
Del amor
y su radio
me hace el cariño antes de besar a otro.
Y pasó que nuestro relación
no era de verdad.
Y aquí no hay amor. Y yo comprendí que esto era cosa de momento. Aquí no hay amor. Y yo comprendí.
Thank you.
soltera.
Christmas.
Wonderful Christmas time.
Yes, Christmas.
Hi, Mr. Churchill.
Christmas. Oh, here it is. Merry Christmas.
Driving yeah. home for Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Christmas.
On Man Fights Back. All right.
Yeah, you getting ready for our Christmas show?
You're yawning. Yeah, I'm getting ready for a Christmas show.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
Well, I think that Liquid Cheese song was like the Mexican Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, well, do you know what soltera means?
Salt in your eye?
No. No. And it's not a casino in southern Indiana.
Soltera.
that's Belterra. No, it means goodbye. So... thought I'd share that.
You said that like a question. Goodbye?
Well, I mean, it could
be. Means
goodbye? Yeah, it means goodbye.
You sure?
No. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
What about, I thought it was adios.
Well, farewell, goodbye, that kind of, that's kind of the meaning there. So.
Kind of like aloha, aloha.
What the rest of it was about, I have no idea. But anyway, I thought it sounded pretty good.
I like that song.
Checked it out on garageband.com. So look them up by name. And
the
it's
Liquid Cheese.
Time for moving on to our next segment here. I love this part. And now it's time for your fortune cookie message of the week. And this one is one of my favorite ones because
I like this.
There is a fortune cookie generator online. Yes, folks. We have a link in the show notes. When we post them here, you'll be able to go and make your own fortune cookie messages. So this week, here we go. I felt that was kind of long. Hold on. All right. And your fortune cookie message of the week. Man with hole in pocket. Feel cocky all day.
Wow.
And that is from your fortune cookie generator. Yes, check out the website. You can make up your own. Just hit a button that says, are you feeling lucky? You click yes, and you hit generate, and you get man with hole in pocket feel cocky all day.
Jeez.
Anyway, okay, great. Did that do it for you? That does it for me. All right, let's go on here.
National news.
And nine technology news.
Technology news, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Martin Cooper, who developed the first portable cell phone, recalled testifying before a Michigan State commission about the risks of talking on a phone while driving. This is from the technology section of the New York Times. Common sense, said Mr. Cooper, a Motorola engineer, dictated that drivers keep their eyes on the road and hands on the wheel. Commission members asked Mr. Cooper whether... what could be done about the risks posed by these early mobile phones? There should be a lock on the dial, he said, as he testified, so that you couldn't dial while driving.
That sounded dramatic.
This was the early 1960s.
What? Cell phone?
This guy, Martin Cooper,
yeah,
said in front of a commission in the early 60s.
There were cell phones in the 60s?
Yes, they were developing them then.
Oh, okay.
So the title of the article is Promoting the Car Phone Despite the Risks. So even back in the 60s when they were, and they've got some really cool vintage pictures of these guys in these flasher trench coats and this guy that's got a phone the size of a shoe up to his ear. So,
oh my God, that's hilarious.
So I got a link in the show notes. But yeah, they've known for a long time that driving while talking
is distracting.
What is distracting?
I mean, they're trying to think about the conversation you have, let alone watching every other yahoo out there on the road with their head up their ass driving around here, who's also talking on a cell phone most likely.
Yeah.
Running into you. So, yeah, it is distracting.
So, it's pretty interesting about the history of the cell phone and what they've known and what they've decided to ignore.
I don't know. They it's going to come out. It's a product, right? It's a way to make money. It's a service that people have to pay for.
People have gotten really rich off this.
You know, I pay a pretty good chunk of change every month to have a cell phone.
Yep.
You know, and of course you have to get the unlimited texting package. You have to get the unlimited internet. Otherwise, you get killed in cell phone bills.
Yeah.
You know, and even teenagers have them now. Even your daughter wants one.
Wants one, ain't going to get one.
Well, how is she? 13?
12.
12? Okay.
Doesn't need one.
So, yeah.
All of her friends have one. But
yeah, well. They must have enough money that they don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're just dangerous for kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've heard all those horror stories. I mean, some guy got a $1,500 cell phone bill because his daughter texted he didn't have the unlimited plan.
Oops.
And his daughter was texting on it or something. It was absolutely.
Yeah, and it's not like the kid's going to end up paying for it.
No. I guess.
I mean, maybe eventually, but.
I think whoever he called, the provider, worked something out with him so he didn't have to pay all that. But, I don't know. It's just crazy. Everything, it should just all be unlimited anyway. But, and it should be like no more than $50 a month. But
right.
Oh well, it's a market to make money. And my computer is running really slow because our next story has to do with cell phones as well. But this one has to do with a dumb thief. So, and technology. But basically, what had happened? I heard this story and I just had to laugh because it's not opening for me. Outstanding. God, I love it. I love technology, especially when it doesn't work, when you need it to. But basically, the title of this story here was Phone Thief Caught After Sending Photo to Victim. Basically, what had happened, this is how the New York Times, I believe, maybe. Or no, I take that back. This one's off of smh.com.au, which is out of Australia. But anyway, it's based out of Philadelphia, and this person was robbed of their purse, including their cell phone and everything else. And from my understanding, what had happened was later on that evening, the thief was playing around with the cell phone and took a picture of himself holding a gun to his head. Like kind of like a thug, you know, thug picture. You know, sitting there, it wasn't like, I'm going to kill myself. It was more like I'm cool.
Look at my gun.
You know, hard ass. Yeah. And it was a big ass handgun, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So,
like a sawed off shotgun.
Yeah. It was very unique. I hadn't seen one like that before. But so anyway, he takes this picture of himself with his cell phone. Well, the woman had set up the cell phone to automatically email her pictures that she takes to her email address.
That's pretty funny.
So she's sitting there and gets a picture in her inbox of the thief.
Bug.
And so she sent it on to police. Police identified him, later arrested him, and voila, there you go.
That's pretty funny.
That's called dumb criminal. Technology, yeah. You cannot escape technology. It's like people stealing these cars with OnStar.
The OnStar, yeah. Yeah. They can shut them down now.
Oh, yeah. Well, even cars without OnStar, they have LoJack and all that stuff on them. I mean, it's hilarious. I love it. Great.
That's why I like the keyless ignition in my car. I can leave my car running and you can't take it out of gear unless I'm in the car with the key.
Yeah, I ran into that with somebody one night. I was going to help them with their car. Help them, I guess is a good way to put it. Yeah.
Didn't have the key.
Didn't have the key. They had to drive back a ways for that one. But anyway, right. Okay. Well,
next in technology news, how the 9/11 pagers got hacked.
Oh.
This is from motherboard.tv. The shock and awe over thousands of hacked pager messages from September 11th, 2001, just anonymously published online, isn't just about painful memories. There's also the big question as how all those mundane, terrible, and weird messages, 573,000 lines and 6.4 million words to be exact, were stolen to begin with.
Stolen or?
Intercepted.
Intercepted. Intercepted. Decoded.
Yes. Well, technically stolen because they weren't intended for the recipient.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Because it is illegal to monitor pagers.
It is illegal, unless you're monitoring your own.
Yeah.
But yes, if it's a transmission that's not intended for you, it's illegal to and intercept it, but you probably wouldn't get caught unless you posted it.
Yes, posted it for people to see. I mean, it's one of those things, yeah. Well, you and I understand the technology because we're involved in radio communications, understand that. So
it's not very difficult.
No, it's very easy.
Indianapolis Police Department for the longest time used to use pagers for a lot of things, and from what I hear, they were in the clear and could be intercepted by anyone.
Oh, yeah. I heard there's some interesting things that came across those.
Some more in the article says, it probably wasn't very hard, and despite all the inevitable conspiracy theories circling the messages, you didn't need the NSA or foreign spy agency to do it. Back in 1998, someone also grabbed the pager messages of President Clinton's entourage during its trip to Philadelphia, capturing decidedly less terrible messages like NBA scores and staff love notes.
No way.
Yeah, so in the article, there's actually a link to 911wikileaks.org where you can download all these, all of these messages. So they've been posted out on the internet for all to see.
Peachy. That's great.
Not really anything I want to look at, but it's out there.
I'm still interested on these conspiracy theory sites about the inside job of 9/11, and I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
WTC-7 fall down?
Yeah, I don't know.
When nothing hit it.
I don't even know what that building was.
It was just another building. It was a complex of buildings.
But WTC-7 wasn't one of the tall ones, right?
Correct.
Okay. The World Trade Center 7 building,
number 7.
Was blown up or something.
You have World Trade Center, which is a center which has like building 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
8, 9, 10.
11, 12.
11, 12.
Yeah. The World Trade Center is actually not the only World Trade Center.
Oh, really?
There's Denver, Colorado. I went to class in the late 90s in the World Trade Center building
in Denver,
Colorado.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Very interesting. Yeah, this WTC-7 stuff, I have to look into that yet. So, all right, well, and searching for all this great news, I often use Google. What about you?
Love Google.
What about, have you worked with this Bing yet from Microsoft?
Not by choice. It's been on a couple computers.
Yeah, I've kind of seen it. I've seen it. I've used it.
It's not Google.
It's not Google. No, it's not. Nothing is compared to Google yet. But anyway, this one's from ZDNet. It's basically how Microsoft...
Are they still around?
Who, ZDNet?
ZDNet?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought they were gone.
ZDNet.com. No, they're still around. Great technology news source. The title of this article from them is How Microsoft Stacks Up Against Google's Latest Search and Mobile Wares.
You're right.
Hello. All right. Hoping unsuccessfully so to head off the glowing press Google was bound to get this week for its Future of Search preview, Microsoft showed off some of its latest enhancements to Bing last week. But on December 7th, the day of Google debuted its latest advances, the softies had nothing to say about how its own offering stacked up against Google's new visual and real-time search prototypes. Going on here, it says, I thought that the Bing team might want to weigh in, given Microsoft showed off bits of its own visual search and Bing Twitter integration capabilities since earlier this fall. Wouldn't it be useful to offer information on how your own... Whoa.
That's me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was like, wow, there's noises and stuff going on here. Sorry. I got interrupted.
I was just trying to slip that in under the radar.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't it be useful for I'm just having not a good night. I didn't do your red leather. Whatever.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. You got to do that to warm up the chops.
I didn't, prep very well here. Wouldn't it be useful to offer information on how your own offerings compare, especially since many of these press and analysts covering Google's search event didn't seem to know or care about that Microsoft already had demonstrated these technologies? But all I could get from the Bing team was the statement delivered via a spokesman. We're not surprised to see Google joining us and launching a real-time search feature. This is a new and exciting space, and we look forward to ongoing competition and product innovation.
You think of the horsepower involved. I have noticed. Have you noticed on Google now when you go there, it's just the Google search box? And when you mouse over it, the stuff fades in?
Yeah. No, that's kind of
cool. I noticed that the other day.
It's nice and clean.
Yeah.
Nice and clean and easy. Bing is just too busy.
Yeah.
It's too busy, and they have these map pictures and these background images, pictures and stuff that show up, and
busy.
I don't know. I'm like, I just want something simple. Nice, clean, simple. They had the right idea with Google.
Yep, and I always find what I want on Google first try.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So, Bing, sorry.
Bing, not
going to win
me.
That one. Nope. Anyway, so, yeah, I was just curious. I don't know who's all using Bing out there. I've tried it. I just don't like it.
I would say anybody that has Windows Vista or Windows 7, because it's their default search engine, and people probably just don't know how to change it.
Good point. That's a good way to...
Everybody over 40 is using Bing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everybody under 40 is using Google.
What happened to my Google?
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, anyway, I'm going to keep using Google. Personally, I like Google. Works for me. So, all right, we're going to move on here to our next music break. Oh, yeah. All right, here's another GarageBand tune here from Amy Martin. And this the name of this song is Day of Reckoning. This is more of an acoustic kind of song. It's kind of a laid-back Sunday tune, I would say.
This is the same Amy Martin that I know.
I don't know. Does she play acoustic guitar?
I don't know. Married to a coworker.
We'll have to check into that. So, here, check out
the name of the song?
Day of Reckoning.
Oh.
Here on Man Fights Back.
Jailed him. agony, and I fear the day of reckoning, when the truth that we've buried can no longer be
abrupt ending.
Oh yeah, I just love the way you turn me on.
All right, thank you. Sorry, I had to play that. I love all these little stingers.
I like them.
Great. Although John C. Dvorak said himself, the show is not about the stingers.
It's not about the stingers.
It's about the content.
Sure.
So we try to keep it real.
Keeping
it real, right here. Unman Fights Back. Okay, so we continue on. Again, that was Amy Martin with Day of Reckoning here on Man Fights Back. That's right off GarageBand.com, and I'm really getting irritated with the fewer amount of people on GarageBand.com that are letting you download their music. I'm like, I really want to promote some of these great tunes that I hear, but they just don't let you download them.
I don't know why.
It's stupid. It's like, come on, man.
You're never going to be somebody.
That's right. You got to let people get it and promote it and help you promote it. I mean, I think that we do a service when we play somebody's song here.
Yeah, because we link to the artist and we give them some props. And
yeah, I'd like to say I'm trying to help them achieve their goal.
Thank you for letting me use your song. I'm going to promote you.
Absolutely. That's the way I look at it. We don't charge anything for this podcast.
That's right. It's free.
It is all free. Right out of our own time and everything. Energy.
I would just be sleeping right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I hear you.
You'd be watching the Weather Channel.
Yeah, I would, because right now it looks like it's a blizzard.
Yes.
The snow is literally blowing horizontally.
Just glad we live in the 2000s and not the 1800s.
Yeah, I think it feels like we live in like North Dakota right now. okay, so we're moving on down the road here. We're going to get this one knocked out. We're on to national news here. All right, Andrew E. Dateline. Start us off.
Dateline Washington, December 6, 2009. The Treasury Department expects to recover all but $42 billion, with a B, of the $370 billion, with a B, it has lent to ailing companies since the financial crisis began last year, with the portion lent to banks actually showing a slight profit, according to the Treasury report.
Hmm.
Okay. This is what I don't get. Let me read this again. The Treasury Department expects to recover all but $42 billion.
So that means to me that's $42 billion in the hole.
Right.
Okay.
But the portion it lent to the banks actually showing a slight profit. How do you show a freaking profit if you're still missing $42 billion?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. The new assessment of the $700 billion bailout program provided by two Treasury officials on Sunday ahead of a report to Congress on Monday is vastly improved from the Obama's administration estimate last summer of $341 billion in potential losses. Okay, so they said they were going to lose $341 billion, but they only lost $42 billion. So they were off by...
Well, I feel better.
Yeah.
$300 billion?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. So the figure anticipated more financial troubles requiring intervention.
See, it's all that smoking stuff, you know, going on here. It's like, oh, well, you know, we'll make it sound good.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, man. It's you know.
So
we actually made money.
And this was from the New York Times, which was pretty disappointing. I mean, I know the New York Times gets slammed on some of their reporting, but they usually have some pretty good stories. But this was just the way that they slanted this thing was, you know, they actually used the word profit.
Yeah,
and they're still talking
ridiculous.
About a $40+ billion loss.
Yeah, that's still negative loss equals negative.
So it was a handout.
Jesus. Wow, that is pretty bad. That's pretty poor reporting there. Are they Demis?
Who knows?
Who knows? That's right. Well, speaking of Demis, we have Al Gore here. And this whole big talk about ClimateGate, now all this stuff has come out about hackers and they've intercepted, I shouldn't say intercepted, they've gotten their hands on emails that...
they were leaked.
Supposedly claim that everything about global warming was made up and that since scientists didn't really have any valid data to prove that climate change was caused by us people living on Earth, that they would make up stuff to kind of give a reason for it.
So what's Al Gore have to say about that?
Well, Gore here says that ClimateGate emails taken out of context.
Oh, of course.
According to the AFP, in Washington, former U.S. Vice President turned environmental crusader Al Gore weighed in on, quote, ClimateGate Wednesday, saying the emails at the center of the row were being taken out of context. Well, yeah, of course. Everything's always taken out of context.
Yeah, well, yeah, if it's not what you wanted to say.
What he says...
You took that out of context.
Oh, what he says, they took a few phrases out of context. These are private emails, more than 10 years old, and they've tried to blow it up into something that it's really not, end quote. Gore said in an interview with CNN. The emails intercepted from scientists at Britain's University of East Anglia... Anglia? Yeah, East Anglia, a top center for climate research, have been seized upon by skeptics as evidence that the experts twisted data in order to dramatize global warming. Makes sense to me. What the hell is that noise? Oh, it's the heater.
Yeah, the furnace just kicked on.
That is our friend. We need that. It goes on to say, Gore formally took the side of the authors who say their private emails were sometimes flippant or ironic and were being distorted to suit climate change denialists. Al Gore says, quote, if you take one little thing from 10 years ago out of context and describe it inaccurately, then it becomes a controversy without any real substance, quote, end quote, Gore said. Yeah, nice. So anyway, some of these things that were taken out of context. I've heard some of these here. I'm trying to get to some of this stuff, but I don't know. I think there's enough proof out there. There's enough articles out there.
I want to know where my global warming is right now.
It's definitely not here in Indiana.
Because this is a record low pressure system that's moved into the Midwest that it's making it extremely windy and extremely cold.
Well, it snowed like 2 or 3 days in a row in Texas.
Yeah, no kidding. It never snows in Texas.
It doesn't snow in Texas. You know, they had like the day off of work. It was like Jesus came, you know, I mean, it was a big deal down there. So, I don't know, man. I don't buy it. I really don't buy this whole global warming thing. And they're saying now, everybody's saying part of this climate gate is that, carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide is bad for you. I'm like,
well, the plants kind of need that, though, to produce oxygen.
They're like, oh, we have to eliminate the carbon dioxide. Well, hello, the trees need that to produce oxygen.
Here's my whole take on the whole quote-unquote global warming thing. And I think you and I talked about this before. I don't disagree that the Earth has probably changed in some way due to the existence of man and due to the existence of technology.
No, I agree with that.
Because, okay, you look at all the smoke that's being generated by coal power plants and things like that. That doesn't happen in nature.
No.
You know? So,
Forest fires
do.
Forest fires. That's
what
I would say. Forest fires are kind of a natural
thing. A lot of the forest fires that are going on are being set, though, versus, you know, lightning and things like that.
In some cases, yeah.
I mean, and here's something to think of, too. There is the exact same amount of material on Earth as there was 10,000 years ago. There's the same amount of water. There's the same amount of dirt. There's the same amount of carbon. It's just in different forms.
Yeah, that's true.
Because water never goes anywhere. It may evaporate, but it goes into the air.
But it always comes back
down. It comes down as rain.
Absolutely.
It goes into the earth, gets absorbed, shows up in an aquifer, somebody drinks it. All the stuff is still there. It's just all kind of being recycled. But, you know, the presence of man has to have some sort of impact. But, I mean, the Earth's a pretty damn big place.
Yeah, it
is. So I'm not saying that it's going to have a huge impact, but I can't imagine it wouldn't have some impact.
Yeah, no, I would understand. I could understand, like, water pollutants.
Yeah, chemicals in water, dioxins, things like that some nuclear stuff from missile tests and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely some impact. Look at the landfills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that stuff soaking into the ground.
And methane and all this other stuff. You know, there's definitely, but I don't know that it's enough to cause what they're seeing. But then again, when you, look at massive weather changes. Well, but you look at some of this climate thing, they're talking about hundreds and thousands of years, you know, a degree change.
Right,
It's pretty hard to detect.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think it's just part of a natural cycle of the Earth. The Earth is a planet just like every other planet. And the Earth is a...
Red leather, yellow leather.
Bunch of hillbillies run that place, I tell you.
Jeez.
Yeah, we ran into a real special guy today.
Yes, we did. Special. Hello, Pot. This is the kettle calling.
Yeah.
So, anyway... Yeah, you had to be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I just think it's a natural thing with the Earth. Oh God, I can't help myself here. I just picture that guy. He just had random body movements and just like random.
I told you, that's what long-term low voltage exposure does to you.
Random pauses in his speech.
I was quite amazed how he could comb the hair from the back of his head to the front of his head to cover up the bald spot.
He probably spends 15 minutes a day working on that. Oh, brother. Grow it long on one side and in the back.
Comb
there.
It over.
See, in the weekends, he has a mullet. You can just comb it down.
Flip
it's a
it
party.
Jeez. Oh, moving on.
Okay, we crack ourselves up here.
According to the Washington Post, on Monday, December 7th, 2009, Secret Service counts 91 breaches from a 2000 report that's been used as a training tool.
That's some scary shit.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you consider a breach. Long before a pair of gate crashers penetrated a White House state dinner, the Secret Service has detailed for its internal use a lengthy list of security breaches dating to the Carter administration, including significant failures in the agency's protection of the president.
That's pretty scary that 91 breaches. 91.
Yeah. Let's see. The only assailant to injure a president in the last three decades was John W. Hinckley Jr., who shot and wounded Ronald Reagan in 1981.
Right.
From outside the security perimeter established by the Secret Service.
Hmm.
Let's see. There was a detail here. Okay. The document, the most complete accounting of recent Secret Service security breakdowns, includes officers mistakenly admitting to the White House grounds a family in a minivan, a man believed to be a delivery driver, and a woman previously known to agents after she had falsely claimed a special, quote, special relationship with Bill Clinton.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the Secret Service official a Secret Service official confirmed the authenticity of the unclassified document, which was a 39-slide presentation.
Wow.
Yeah. So
wait a minute. So the woman who showed up claiming to be a special...
I'm the president, bitch.
Yeah,
let me in.
A special acquaintance of Bill Clinton. They let her through.
Yeah,
because she claimed that.
I guess.
Good Lord.
You don't want to make Bill upset.
Oh my God.
Mr. Donovan
did she have cigars on her?
I don't know. Donovan noted that in 2008 alone, the agency successfully protected up 34 top U.S. leaders and 222 U.N. General Assembly dignitaries, as well as some of the official spouses and relatives at thousands of locations in the United States and abroad. This is where I'm saying 94 doesn't sound like that big of a number,
considering
that you have, you know, well over 1,000 Secret Service agents doing duties 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all around the United States or all around the world.
I buy that.
You know, and what it's what you describe as a breach. You know, I mean,
well, it could be something very small.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Are you getting tweets over there?
I'm getting IMs here.
IMs? Uh-oh.
Yep.
Who's IMing you? Anybody important?
Little woman.
Oh, okay. She's telling you that
she likes my disguise.
I think your hat looks cool. I'm telling you, he looks like the Edge, Carla.
That's right.
He is a rock and roll star.
Rock and roll.
Yep. Give him a guitar. Take a picture. We'll do a side-by-side comparison. We got to do this. I have a guitar in my house. We will put you in a guitar. We will take a picture with that hat.
We'll have to do it on a Sunday after I haven't shaved for a couple days.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. We could do this. All right. Cool. We'll use that as one of our artwork for our next tag, our MP or our podcast MP3 tag.
She just wrote me back and said, who's the Edge?
Who's the Edge? U2 guitarist, world famous, creative man of the god of music creativity.
according to Bono.
Actually, I got to say, The Edge is pretty cool. He actually does come up with a lot of great sounds for you too. So,
actually, his name is David Hal Evans.
Oh, really? The Edge sounds cooler. So, anyway,
he does have the same hat.
He does. I'm telling you, he wears those hats, man. He's got the same hat. He wears it. He didn't flip. You see, earlier you had it flipped.
I had it flipped.
The
up.
Inside flipped up a little bit, so you had like camo going around your head here. And that
I got some urban camo on the inside.
That looks like you've got a workout sweatband on, and you're getting ready to go watch 30-minute abs or something in the gym. So, all right. Anyway, okay, well, let's move on to our next music break.
We're not done with...
We're done with national news.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, we're done with national news, man.
That was the last one, sorry.
Yeah.
We only had three.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on nationally. A lot of cover-up stuff, like, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, all that good stuff that everybody really cares about. Really makes a difference in our lives. So we're going to move on to our next music break here. We've got... this one is by a band called Hands Down, and the... Oh, I love this one. This is really weird, but it's by a band or a person called Hands Down. The title of this song is called Nobody Knows Nobody. And in the title, it says by Paulito. So I have no idea who this is by. Paulito? Or is it done by Hands Down? But it is on GarageBand.com. The title of the song, again, is Nobody Knows Nobody. I haven't even heard this song yet, so this is brand new.
Oh,
this is fresh. This is hot off the press here at Man Fights Back.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're back here. I'm gonna have to do some special show editing here. At least I can do that. That's the nice thing about this. Okay, so anyway, we're gonna go here with Hands Down with Nobody Knows But. Yeah. Forget it here.
Yeah. They say real recognize real man. So any nigga that recognize Paulito, man. You mentioned something about me, man. You mentioned that I keep it 100 all day like a C-note, man. And any nigga around me, something like Benjamin Franklin around here, man. Yeah. The fucked up thing is for us real niggas, man. Everybody ain't like us, man. You always got some fake niggas, man. That do fake nigga shit. Yo, me and you go way back. Matter of fact, you was one of my main niggas to make bread. And Lord knows what was going through your head. Got caught with mad handguns in the AR-10. You fucked, that's what everybody said. A judge lowered your bail, he let you out for 10. I told you go on the run when you get a little bread. And you don't want that case to get picked up from the feds, nah. And you agreed with me, said you needed some weight. And get some cake, it's only right I let you eat with me. You was blowing money back and forth, nigga. Acting all relaxed, going back to...
Okay, all right.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell
that was.
I think
you should listen to the songs next time before you play them.
Sorry, I was trying to do a nice little random shot in the dark.
This is why nobody knows nobody.
By Paulito, but yet the band's Hands Down. Anyway, I apologize, but that's just not...
It's not Man Fights Back material.
It's not Man Fights Back material, man. I'm like, what in the world is this? So, we're going to move on to our... We're going to do another song. So, instead. How about that?
How about a music mashup?
Do you want to do the music mashup?
I don't care.
Okay, yeah, we'll do the music mashup.
All right.
Because I got a good song coming up. I can't wait to hear this one either. I haven't heard it, but...
Oh, jeez.
You'll love it, I think. I don't know. I like the title.
I've been advised by one of our listeners we need a research assistant.
Yes, we do. I think we got a volunteer. Absolutely. Excellent. Okay, so let's move on to a mashup here, music mashup. This week, we're actually going to play a mashup song. This one is the Doobie Brothers versus the Dukes of Hazzard. I thought those were pretty cool.
Did you listen to it?
I did listen to this one. I promise. And, yeah, you have to check this out. This is out of a special, very special mashup collection that we have access to. Check it out. Thank you. Mashup for you there, Doobie Brothers versus the Dukes of Hazzard. That was by DJ Flex. I'm sorry, that was the DJ Flex remix here on Man Fights Back. We give that a round of applause. All right,
that was pretty cool.
I thought it was cool, but that's why I picked it.
At least you listened to this one.
I did listen to that one. I apologize for the other
song. Was that?
That was like to play. Hear some funky music, or like to play some funky music. Dixieland.
Okay.
Pretty Mama, come and take me by the hand.
Gotcha.
I think it's called funky music, or play that funky music, or I don't know.
White boy.
I don't know. I forget that song, but I know the song because it's one of those songs that you just, you know, jam around and, you know, listen to all the time, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. Dig it?
Dig it.
Dig it. All right. So, I guess we move on here. Let's just keep going here. Maybe. If I can hit buttons. Here we go. All right. We'll take the 10th caller. Sorry.
239-9999.
0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0 Carol?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. People masking their numbers to make them look like things. It's usually telemarketers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, okay, we're going to move on to our no agenda clip of the week. The thing with this no agenda clip is it actually corrects us. From a story that we came and we gave to you about a young woman who had taken the common seasonal flu shot and supposedly had a reaction, they called it, but it was actually, they claimed it was a disabling side effect that would affect the rest of her life. Well, there's some light been shed onto that story, and we're going to play it to you because whenever, you know, we need to correct ourselves, we will. So this is a clip from No Agenda number 152 with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. This was on November 29th. So listen to this. This is regarding that, what was it, Redskins cheerleader, young Redskins cheerleader.
Oh, yeah.
Who got that life-altering flu shot. This is going to put us in our place.
So there's one story I wanted to talk about right at the beginning since I've now got the mic.
Okay.
This is a story I think it's interesting because we didn't cover it.
You've got the mic, Mr. Dvorak. I'm sorry.
We didn't cover this story, and I think, you know, because for one thing, it didn't fit into our scheme of things, and it seemed a little sketchy at the time, and it was just an unfortunate story. But there was a story about a cheerleader, and she took a regular seasonal flu shot.
And then she started walking backwards, right?
Crazy disorder. She's walking backwards, and now all the research has indicated – by the way, she's cured now from some herbs that – because she was hooked up with a quack who apparently had made all these assertions that he could cure anything, and the whole thing appears now, even though we didn't cover it all, but people have seen it. We got a lot of links. People say, look at this.
What is that? Well,
it's a scam, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you know, and I think that inherently both of us felt that, and that's why we didn't respond to it, because I had it in my links, and I was like, I don't know, man. And I just kind of let it go. But yeah, everyone was like, oh, look, you know, she's neurological disorder. But how do we know it was a scam? Do you have...
Yeah, it's all over the place now. I do have a bunch of links. I'll send them over.
Which, of course, is sad because it detracts from the actual message that we do agree with, which is these vaccines are kind of an outrage.
Yeah, but you know, apparently the research indicates it came on too fast to be real, and then
it looked pretty disturbing.
She was hooked up with this guy who was a, you know, one of these characters who's always
don't tell me he has an internet radio show and he carries around the Constitution and votes for Ron Paul. Oh no,
the name was Desiree Jennings.
Yeah, right, that's her name.
Scienceblogs.com has a good story on it. Cured of her vaccine-induced dystonia.
So what was it? Was it just a joke, a hoax, or was it promoting some kind of herbal anti-swine flu stuff?
It was promoting
sort
of herbal guy who had, you know, all these...
Funny how that works, John, that both of us felt that that was just not credible. And we didn't even do deep research on it.
Yeah, we never even discussed it.
That's what I mean, is we both felt like, doesn't feel right. It just shows you that we've learned a few things.
Yeah, well, pat yourself
in the past
on the back.
2 years.
Well, yeah, the whole thing. But yeah, well, you know, also the guy. I think the guy could have made more, the scheme would have had more legs if it was a straight up swine flu vaccine as opposed to the seasonal flu, which has been shooting people for the last decade.
Yeah, good point.
Decades, and so I think he didn't do a very good job of scamming.
Well,
I'd just
us.
Like to point out in the chat room, multiple mentions made that prostitution is legal in Australia.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I actually know that.
Okay, Adam, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
What episode number was that from?
Number 152.
152.
Yes. So there you go. Our story that we had about the young Redskins cheerleader was a hoax. It was a flim-flam, wham-bam, whatever you want to call it. Crapola. That's what it was. Disinformation. So anyway, unfortunately, we believed it. It was actually by a major news source that story was published, aired on TV. Even.
It was. Well, they get scammed too if they don't do their research.
Unbelievable. In fact, I don't know. I hate to remember. I hate to say which one it was if it wasn't it. Might have been Fox.
Probably was.
But anyway, yeah. Unfortunately, They got it right. We didn't. Because I sent them that article, and I was like, "Good Lord, these guys aren't discussing it. They're not listening." And yes, they were. They were being very selective and careful. But anyway, yeah, it is a disservice to all of us out there who wonder what is in this crap that they're shooting into our bodies. These flu shots and vaccines and everything else. It really does put a different spin on it when you find out stuff like that. So.
That's true.
Anyway, thank you, John and Adam, for setting us straight. What in the, is the Olympics going on next door or what?
I think so. Somebody just keeps slamming their door.
And we're like in like two room sizes, and it's like across the room, and they're like doing the Olympics or something over there.
Yes.
I don't know what in the world's going on. Do you see anything poking through the wall?
Is it? No.
Oh, sorry.
They're just running around slamming doors.
I don't know. I guess they just like doors.
Maybe they're trying to sleep.
Oh, well. Not until we're done. All right. Now on to Indiana news.
Okay. Well, those of you who live in central Indiana probably had a treat going to work on Monday morning.
Oh, it was peachy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't.
How was your commute?
My commute.
From upstairs to downstairs.
From the upstairs to the living room?
Yeah.
To get my coffee? No, it was.
Was it Tuesday or was it Monday? It was Monday. Monday, because I had to go in to get my health. Monday. I had to go in to get my health assessment done for insurance, and I was running a little late.
Gotcha.
So,
understandably,
the roads were in pretty bad shape. So, a story from the Indianapolis Star or IndyStar.com. roads should be in better shape. Oh, I'm sorry. The title of the article is "Poor Forecast Limited City Storm Plan." So they're blaming it on the forecasters. With warmer weather temperatures and a full day's salting of the roads, this afternoon rush home should be much smoother than the slippery inbound run.
Wow.
So, yeah, it took me, well, for those of you who live in the area, you know, it was the first snow of the season. The roads really weren't that bad, but it took me to go, how many miles is that down? 5 miles?
Maybe. Yeah,
over an hour.
Like that.
Over an hour.
Wow.
Took me 20 minutes just to get to the interstate, which is 2 miles away.
Wow.
And then a 5 mile trip south was the rest of the time.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
That was, yeah, that is. Right. I woke up and heard of the news on the radio and decided I don't need to go anywhere. So I think I'll just stay right here rather than sit in traffic and not doing anything for a couple hours.
If I didn't have to go in for my assessment, I would have worked from home that day. Yeah. But
Indiana, for some reason, people do not know how to drive during the first snow.
No, they freak out.
It doesn't matter how much it is. It could be a dusting. People flip out and don't know how to drive. It's ridiculous. I hate it. Get your head out of your ass and drive your car. There's my rant. Yeah. All right, great. So if you're watching our stick cam video, by the way, you will see Andrew E's new profile pic. That is him, ladies and gentlemen, with the cap on there. And,
yeah, that's me.
You know, I can't tell with that picture. Are they wearing sunglasses or is that just dark? They have like real dark, shady eyes.
I think they're dark, shady eyes.
With the nice big-ass earring.
No, it's not an earring.
What is that?
It is the sketch artist's initials.
Oh, initials. Wow. I think I know that guy.
This is a sketch of the police impersonator who assaulted a woman in Noblesville.
So if you're watching the video and you've seen this person, call your local police department and let them know.
I didn't even think about this before I put my hat on.
It totally looks like you. It does.
It wasn't.
It looks like you.
I have an alibi.
Where were you? In bed.
Wasn't there.
Sleeping.
So sleeping.
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway, yeah, that was pretty interesting. So anyway, if you're watching the stick cam video, that's what that's all about. Okay. And speaking of criminals in a local area of ours, Fishers is one of our... Well, I guess you would say, yeah, it's local to where we are from around there.
It's really local from where I'm from.
Man, you know what? Now I'm having problems again. I can't open up the story. Are you kidding me?
Really?
This really sucks. You're going to have to carry me here.
That's
Andrew.
Okay. Parks worker arrests prompts Fishers to change pay procedures. Basically, the superintendent of Fishers Parks Department had hired his son to do some work for him. His son subsequently quit, but they continued to pay him for about $35,000 worth.
Wow, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so little ghost employment charges have been brought up.
Oh, my God. That is a... and they have their mugshots. I've seen their mugshots. I actually did... You know, I looked at this story. They had their mugshots online. I was like, wow.
By the way, I do have an alibi for the night of the assault. I was snoring at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Were you snoring?
Yes.
Were you informed of that?
I have a witness.
You have a witness. I believe it.
And so some other local news here. The former owner of the company where I used to work. The Hilbert Mansion's price has been slashed to $9.9 million.
That was a $20 million estate, wasn't it? Property value. It was several years ago.
Built it for, I thought it, they built it for 14, and the rest of it was the land.
Wow.
So the house itself was, well, the house and grounds and everything, all the security house, which is bigger than my house, the assembly hall replica, the 11-car garage, and the house with elevator with mother of pearl buttons.
Wow.
About $14 million.
Are you kidding me? Assembly hall replica?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Assembly hall like IU?
IU. Yeah, there's a replica there. It's an indoor basketball stadium. It's a replica of Assembly Hall, including
God.
The floor, the whole nine yards.
You're kidding.
Uh-oh. No.
Oh, my God.
It's a two-scale replica.
No wonder. The dude's a crook.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, how much money is too much money?
Yeah.
At some point, when do you just...
Well, here's what's funny, though. The house is 23,000 square feet, okay?
Right.
It sits on 33 acres of land.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, there was a guy in the news the other day that had a 30,000 square foot house in the one that got was getting the feds.
Oh, yes, you're talking about Bob.
Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah.
So anyway,
Donahue or Tim Dunham.
Dunham.
Yeah.
So he had a 30,000 square foot house.
Yeah, on Geist.
On Geist.
Yeah, I forget how much that house was valued at.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot more.
The Hilbert Mansion has been slashed to a low, low price of $9.9 million.
Oh, wow.
We should get some investors.
I thought there was somebody who actually was going to buy it.
They were. It was a $15 million deal, and it fell through.
Oh, now it's down to $9.9 million. Well, if I was the $15 million guy, I'd go back and say, hey, I'll take that one.
Here's my thought on this, though.
Yeah.
If you have that much money, you're going to build a house. You're going to build the house of your dreams. You're not going to buy somebody else's dream.
That's a good point. Because I'm sure that house has had a lot of miles on it.
It's tacky.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Sistine Chapel fresco painting on the ceiling that has a picture of Steve Hilbert as the naked dude sticking his hand out with his finger.
Are you kidding
me? It's his face.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not.
That is weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
What a freak.
Yeah.
Well, he married a stripper, for God's sakes, who jumped out of a cake at his son's birthday party.
I know. So, there you go.
Wow. You've been there, haven't you? Have you seen it?
The house, yeah.
Yeah, you've been in there?
Nuts.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, well, finally in Indiana news.
And that guy, you know, hold on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But Mr. Hilbert still has money somehow.
Oh, yeah.
It was like $72 million that he owed that company. And he still is living in like a $1.2 million home?
He was making hundreds of millions of dollars a year
How is that possible? He was just CEO, wasn't he?
Creative accounting, creative financing.
Well, yeah, obviously he wasn't doing legitimate stuff, but I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah, it was back in the that was back before the bubble burst.
Yeah, that's true. He was found out, but he still has millions of dollars. He needs to be a Joe.
He transferred a lot of it in his wife's name.
Well, yeah, but they still got it from her. Some of it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm sure they all have their own little hidden secrets of money stashes everywhere.
Swiss bank accounts.
You'll never find
offshore accounts. Money in a mattress.
I'm sure. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay. Anyway. Moving on. I'm still trying to load the story because, well, I can talk about it. But according to wishtv.com, they have a news article here about this. It's been all over the news in Indiana. Unfortunately, the state police are going to cut some jobs. And this would be the motor carrier inspections jobs that they have for the state. They're going to be cutting, I think, a good, what is it?
42
of them. I don't know how many.
And these people are civilians, which really surprised me.
Yeah, they're not paid very much. Most of them are part-time, I believe. And they have red and blue lights, just like a regular police car, but they have a different emblem on the side of them.
I always just assumed those are just state troopers on a special detail that were looking for, you know, issues with semis and motor. It's the motor carrier division.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do inspection of the buses and things like that. I just assumed they were just regular police officers. I had no idea that they were, that the majority of them were civilians.
Yeah. I guess there used to be 84 motor carrier inspectors. But now the state's oversight budget whatever deal, shortfalls.
So now there's going to be more dangerous trucks on the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, it takes these people to make the world go around. I mean, it, you know, honestly, the motor carriers actually are great people to have because they keep, you know, you'll see, for example, if you're driving down the road and you see like dump trucks, for example,
mm-hmm.
you have you always seen where they have wobbly tire?
Oh, yeah.
Like it looks like it's wobbling.
Yep.
That is a violation. And they'll get fined for that because what will happen is eventually that wheel will fly off.
Wow.
Or that means that they've been carrying too much weight
too
in their
weight.
Loads.
Yeah.
And it's warping their axles or their rims or their tires or whatever.
Be throwing crap out of the back of this dump truck. And
yeah, absolutely. So it's unfortunate that these people are going to lose their jobs. Although there's no amount of money in the world that would have got me out on the road pulling people over without a gun.
Yeah, no kid. Or arrest powers or anything else.
Yeah, or yeah. Especially with truckers. And not that truckers are bad people. I'm not saying that. A lot of truckers have guns and weapons.
Sure.
For very, very, you know, obvious
reasons. For legitimate reasons.
I mean, yeah, they're out there traveling, running into truck stops. I mean, truck stops in the middle of the night are not the most, you know, not all of them are very, you know, honest, you
yeah,
know,
it's not where
clean environments. I mean, you have all kinds of, you know, lot lizards and crap like that running around, I guess, better way to put it. But yeah, I mean, you know, these
less
guys...
Less desirables.
Their job is dangerous. I will say a truck driver's job is not exactly something to be taken lightly.
Right.
You know, it's a dangerous job, too. So anyway, you know, but you get some freaky dude who's been up all night high on...
Methamphetamines.
Meths, or yeah, you know, I mean, there's bad people in every profession. I'm not saying all truckers are like this, but there are a few. And they gunned down one of these guys because they pulled him over. Going to make him late dropping their load off. No pun intended. You know, it's pretty, I don't know. I'd say it's admirable, but...
Surprised there's not more outcry on this.
Wouldn't catch me doing it.
Because these are also the same people who inspect our children's school buses.
That is true. That is a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Just thought about that. Yeah, because they did a whole story on the school buses last year. I think it was
school buses,
year.
Greyhound buses, all these other transportation.
Yeah, they're, and they found a bunch of crap wrong.
Right. They're responsible for inspecting these things to make sure they're safe, and now they have less people doing it.
Wow. Bet you all the school bus garages are like, whew,
yeah. Oh,
thank God. All right, we can start skimping again on those brake lines. oh, well. Anyway, okay, we're going to move on to our next music break, and this one is by a band called Pierced Rocks, and the name of this song is... Poop Tastes Yummy here on Man Fights Back.
Jeez, have you listened to this one?
No, I have not.
Take away what I love. I won't give. Because I know it's true that I'm never be good enough. If it's your point of view, I just can't lose you.
All right, there you go. There's Pierce Rocks with Poop Tastes Yummy. Poop Deck Pappy. Oh, brother. All right, so.
All right, well, we had three stories in Strange News, but one of them I can't get to come up right, so.
Is that the bluefin?
Yeah.
Tuna?
Tuna.
And fishers?
No.
Fishers?
Fishermen.
Fishermen.
They were catching bluefish tuna from kayaks.
Oh, my God.
Those fish are as big as these kayaks. I've got the link in another thing, so.
Can you find it?
Hmm?
Are you looking for it right now?
I've got a link. Right. I'm gonna try to just track. I'll probably just put it in the next episode.
Nah, that's cool. What was the next story?
So much air in packages, so many explanations.
Air in packages.
Air. A-I-R.
Yeah.
After a Consumer Reports reader, Jim Demers, opened a box of Mrs. Paul's lightly breaded tilapia fillets to discover the box only half filled, he filleted the company.
Oh, my God.
Even after being processed, breaded, and frozen, these fortunate fish continue to enjoy the feeling of an open ocean, Mr. Demer was quoted in saying in an article, Air to Spare, published in the magazine's January issue. The article examined 9 reader-suggested products that filled as little as half of their packages, a practice that even given accurately listed weights strikes some as a deceptive marketing ploy.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like when you get your bag of potato chips and it's half full of air.
Happens frequently.
Well, they put the air in there in order to protect them during shipping. Well,
sure.
Over the years, packaging has changed to where they have put less contents in there, but they've kept the same size boxes.
Right.
And same size packaging where a 12-ounce can of something now is 11 ounces, but the can's the same size.
Right.
Or it's a different shape, but it feels the same size.
Right.
So, you know, some of it's legit, some of it's not. This is a pretty in-depth article.
The size matters.
That's true.
It does.
Well, it's like pasta. Pasta used to always be sold in 1-pound packages. Now it's a lot of times it's sold in 12-ounce packages. That makes a big difference.
Oh, really? Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You would know that.
Food thing.
You're good on it. It's a foodie thing. Wow. Very interesting. I have noticed that they've slimmed down on packaging certain things. What was it the other day? I was messing with her. What did I get? I was like, man, you know, they've really slimmed this down quite a bit. I can't remember. It was one of those things where,
excuse me,
they used to sell it, and whatever it was, the product was huge, and now it seems just, oh, Klondike bars.
Oh, yeah, they've gotten smaller.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I remember when I was a kid,
those things were huge. I remember a Klondike bar was so big you could barely eat it.
Yeah, and Shalimar and I were at the grocery the other day or whatever, and we're looking at Klondikes, and we're like, ah, we got to get some. I'm like, they look so small.
Yeah.
There's still only 6 in a package.
Yeah, but they've shrank them over the years.
They're super small.
They're probably half the size they used to be.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I was really disappointed.
Candy bars are the same way. The normal candy bar from 20 years ago is now the king-size candy bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that the deal? Wow. Very cool.
So, Consumer Reports had a pretty interesting article about this. Was in what episode? I get Consumer Reports. It was the... I remember seeing this article.
Hmm.
It's like a couple months ago.
About the food sizes?
Yeah.
Was this something we discussed?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I was hoping not, because I don't recall that.
Yeah, we talked about it in depth.
Did we? Yeah.
Yes.
Darn it. Where was I?
All right. Well, hey, this last one we actually found today, and it sounds very interesting. This last Strange News article.
Yes, it does. It was...
still under investigation.
There were some very strange lights that were spotted over... Was it Norway, right?
Norway.
And there's some photos, and these photos are just amazing. Actually, Adam Curry tweeted this earlier today on Twitter, and I got it, and usually I don't pay attention to any of that stuff, but I saw this one, and it was very interesting because a few days ago, they actually started up the collider again at CERN.
The Large Hadron Collider.
Yes. And in the basic terms, it basically takes atoms and smashes them together. And people's biggest fears have been that if you do this, it could create a black hole. Well, it just happens that overnight, last night, I guess in Norway, this huge spiral-shaped, I would say cloud? I don't even know if it would be a cloud.
It looked like a giant portal had opened up into the sky.
It did. It looked like this huge, I mean, it looked so amazing. Even, you know, you thought it was Photoshopped.
My first thing was it was Photoshopped.
Yeah, I could have bought reaction. That. But, I mean, it was like, wow. And it had this big blue, twisty, what would you say?
I think some of that may have been, it was like a spiral.
It was a spiral, but there was a blue...
like a cone that went up to
But it was like twisty and very auroric. I guess is aurora, yeah. You know, kind of auroric.
Well, I think the moisture in the air may have had something to do with that too. I mean, basically what they're saying, it was a, somebody's saying that it was a rocket that went out of control and was spinning, and somehow the spinning, if you looked at it at the right angle, gave you this.
So yeah.
It's pretty amazing though. I mean, there's video on it. There's all sorts of stuff.
I don't buy the rocket theory.
You don't think so?
I don't think a rocket could do that, man.
I don't know.
I don't buy it.
It could be a cover-up.
I think it is. I really think it is. I think it's some reaction from CERN that they didn't expect. And
well, a spinning rocket dumping fuel certainly seems to be the most likely explanation is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, but would it look like that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know.
There's a lot of comments on the link that we sent to, or that we've put in the show notes. It's got a ton of comments on it, though, so it's exploded since we looked at it before. So it's got some really good comments on it, though. So we'll have to go through these, maybe talk about this a little bit more next week, and
yeah,
hopefully there'll be an explanation by then.
Well, I hope so. I hope there is a. Oh wow! Please start Manicam. I really think there is an explanation for this. I'm sure, but I think it has to do with CERN. That's my opinion.
Well, CERN's in Norway.
I mean, think about this. In the U.S., how many rockets has NASA launched and they've gone
wrong?
That have
ever done this, yeah.
And, you know, because not every rocket launch they have is successful. And that's why they do it over the ocean. And so what I'm thinking, if they're doing this in Norway, first of all, where was it over? What was it over? And why were they launching this rocket? What was it for?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know that. If they could give me that information, I might believe that. But nobody's come out and say anything, and everybody's seen it. All the news media outlets in Norway have talked about this.
Curious to what Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak come up with.
That is true. They're doing another show tomorrow.
And I bet they'll talk about this.
I believe, which would be episode 156?
Yes.
Okay. Just thought I'd, you know, throw that out there. So.
Wow. You all right, man?
No. Okay. All right, moving on. What else do we got? Anything? Ending music?
Let's pull this plow into the barn.
Oh, hold on. I've got to end this one. I've got to play this for you. You ready? Now, all the news about Tiger Woods, right? You've heard all the news.
Yes.
I got a great clip for you here. You're
gonna love it. How fucking dare anyone make fun of Tiger Woods?
No.
He lost his car, and now his wife might divorce him, and he had two fucking affairs. You guys are so fucking ungrateful. Oh, his wife's a fucking hot supermodel, and he can't even be happy with her. You guys make him so sad. Oh, he's a human being. How could you treat him like this after all he's done for you? Oh, leave Tiger alone. You're lucky he even performed for you bastards. You girls, you're lucky he even performed on you and for you at all. I mean, you're just jealous of his driving skills on the golf course. And Paris Hilton talked about being professional and performing no matter what. Well, you know what? You're fucking unprofessional for talking to him all the time. You're lucky he even fucking plays golf for you, ever. You guys are so unprofessional that you're bashing her all the time. And you could have pulled it off no matter what. Oh, what would you pull it off if you were Tiger Woods? Fuck you guys. Speaking of professionalism, why is it professional to bash somebody publicly when they're going through a hard time? Leave Tiger alone, please.
Wow.
Are you going to leave Tiger alone?
Leave Tiger alone. You're just jealous.
Did you restart this?
My leg.
Wow.
Wow. There you go. That's in response that was a, actually, to the, yeah.
Leave Britney alone yeah. from years past.
Because there was a lady who actually was seriously distraught over the Britney Spears thing and did this whole YouTube video.
It was a whole big viral video.
So now somebody's actually made their own Tiger Woods one. So it's actually very funny. Check it out. I think we have a link in the show notes.
Ooh, a guy, wasn't it?
I think it was a guy.
Guy
I think
in
it was
a wig.
Guy dressed up in a wig. Yeah, yeah, maybe. Okay, anyway, let's get out of here. Wrap up this mess of a show.
Gotta go put more salt in the truck.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's that?
I gotta go put more salt in the truck.
What truck?
Gotta take the truck to the bus barn.
Okay, sounds good to me. All right, let's get out of here. Here's Josh Woodward with a song called I Want to Destroy Something Beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll give you 60 seconds to disappear. And if you don't get out of here, who knows? Cause I've been trying to find out if an angel bends or breaks. Oh, showers like a star. Say